Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
From Lexington, Kentucky.
It's really hard to match that excitement, Glenn. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 6, 2011, episode 135, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Happy holidays to everyone. And when I say happy holidays, I of course mean happy Oaks Day. It's one of the exciting days for ladies around the world. We are celebrating the Oaks Day in fine fashion. And we're going to talk to somebody who's actually at the Oaks today, which is always entertaining because it's much like the infield of the Derby. It's definitely a party type day. And then of course tomorrow, yay! The Kentucky Derby. But Glenn, should we give the breaking news right now?
Yeah, we might as well. It happened just before we went on the air. You do it.
Holy cow, this came out like 10 minutes ago. Uncle Mo, the horse that has been the favorite for the Kentucky Derby since like last October, came in third place in the Wood Memorial a couple weeks ago. They said he had an intestinal infection. Uncle Mo has been scratched. Uncle Mo is not going to run in the Kentucky Derby. Absolutely amazing, like punch you in the face kind of news if you've been following Uncle Mo. Oh, my gosh. I got to go check his Facebook page. See what he says.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think to look there. But, you know, this means good things, I think, for Mucho Macho Man.
Oh, he'd have beat him anyway. No. I'm sure it means good things for lots of horses as far as this, but holy moly, I cannot believe it. Let's see. Oh, it's on there. Yeah, the news is out on his Facebook page. So, you know, we definitely wish the Uncle Mo camp a lot of luck, and hopefully we'll see him in the Preakness. And then
Mucho
Macho Man will
be
interesting.
You know, that'll be all the speculation after the Kentucky Derby. If Uncle Mo comes back for the Preakness, then all the talk will be, can the Kentucky Derby horse match Uncle Mo? So that'll – oh, wait a minute. Did we say Preakness? Did we say
Preakness? Lord of the.
Just thought.
Oh, don't. I'm not going to say the word again if you're going to play that every single time.
What race comes next, Jamie? What race comes next?
It is the run for the. I think there's Black Eyed Susans. That's the run for the Black-Eyed Susans. Like,
okay,
like the Kentucky Derby is the run for the Roses. The Oaks Day is the run for the Lilies. And that's the Black-Eyed Susans. So, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Jennifer, you need to turn your mic on.
Oh, sorry. you guys get going, and it's like dropping a ball down a hill. You just get going. On today's show, we break from the gate with Alex Brown live from Churchill Downs' backside. No, not that backside. That means the barn area. And next up, we will have our good friend Reese Kofler-Stanfield, also live from Churchill Downs. And she and tens of thousands of her best friends are tailgating there because, of, as Jamie said, it's Kentucky Oaks Day. It's sort of the redheaded little sister of the historic Kentucky Derby, and it deserves credit. And last but not least, live from the show notes page on the Horses in the Morning intranet, it's Really Badass! Yay! Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Jennifer. Today's Daily Winnie goes out to a listener I had a nice conversation with yesterday, Connie Cressman from Indiana. Talked to her on the phone. Thank you for calling, Connie. It was very nice. She's an avid fan of Horses in the Morning and several of the other shows, so it was. I just appreciated talking to her. Thank you, Connie, for giving us a call. And I have one more here, Jamie. This is sort of a follow-up Winnie from yesterday, but I don't have follow-up Winnie music, so we just have to use that over again. This is Shauna Kroll. Yesterday we talked about her horse Wildfire winning another race, and we were saying that we didn't know what kind of horse she was, whether she was a trotting or pacing racer. And she posted on her Facebook page, thanks for the Daily Winnie. Wildfire is a four-year-old trotting mare. She is racing again on Tuesday. Keep positive thoughts coming. Jamie, I am with you on the more pus, the better. And Shauna and Jamie, you're just both sick. That's all I have.
I'm telling you, Glenn, do you see on her face?
Well, I just wanted to explain that for those who didn't know. The more pus, the better is a conversation from Wednesday. So you can go listen to the segment with thehorse.com and catch up on that. I don't think the more pus, the better in most aspects of my life. Anyway, my Daily Winnie goes to everybody who was helping me pick out what color for my .2 air vest. Again, I have my first competition on my green thoroughbred. So we decided to, my husband made me get a .2 air vest to run cross country in. And you guys are helping me with the color. My husband did go on, and he actually voted as well. So
I saw that.
I know, isn't that cool? I didn't even know. First of all, the man has logged on to Facebook twice in his life, and one was to vote on the .2 air vest. So the other one was to change his status from single to married. So getting up only because he had a gun to his head. So, thanks to everybody. Keep it coming, you know, go look at him and tell me what you think.
Then there were some interesting comments about you living in Arizona and the black one. I thought, I hadn't even thought about that, but it is kind of warm down there. Hey, we have Alex Brown coming up, who's gotten quite a name for himself in the racing world after he wrote the book Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. And he was the one that had started that Barbaro site shortly in 2006, I believe it was, after Barbaro died, and he did the site, and you know it became very popular, and Alex became very popular as well, and he's really an advocate for racing, and we're so privileged to be able to talk to him as he's on the backside here of the track coming up and at Churchill Downs. So we're excited about that. Yeah,
why do they call it the backside? Is it the rear end of racing? Is it a sorry.
It's the back of the track. I mean, it's in the back.
It's true. It's always in the back.
Are they trying to tell us something?
It's kind of the behind the scenes.
Yeah. There is a lot of innuendo there. You're right, though, Jennifer. Well, as promised, I have put together, the other day we played the races up through 2005 in a little montage. Well, today I have the Kentucky Derby from 2006 to 2010. And I think you're going to like the first one. Take special note of the first one. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. starting gate, and they're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Quite determined in striking range as well at the top of the lane, and they turn for home in the Kentucky Derby. Barbaro comes roaring off the turn, opens up by three with 3/16 to run now. His entry made up the inside, showing up still in the second spot, joined by Bluegrass Cat, who's plugging away down to the final furlong, though, and it's all Barbaro. Barbaro in front by five. Very impressive. Barbaro and Edgar Prado rolling on to win Kentucky Derby 132. And they've kicked it into high gear, down to the final furlong, and Street Sense goes right on by Heartspun. Street Sense has taken over and opens up here. Street Sense by two, Heartspun racing in second, but it's all Street Sense drawing away. Late charge from I'm a Wild and Crazy Guy. Street Sense and Calvin Burrell impressively in Derby 133. As they turn for home, and Big Brown makes a big move, and he takes the lead. Big Brown is opened up now by three. The Game Philly, Eight Bells, trying to run him down the final furlong. It's Big Brown. He's gone clear. Big Brown and Kept the Solo by 4 lengths. The Game Philly second on the inside, Eight Bells, but Big Brown. Big Brown is a superstar. He'll win the Kentucky Derby. Big Brown wins by five.
Picking up now, bursting through, Mind That Bird, absolute last early, Mind That Bird has skimmed the rail, a brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell, Mind That Bird is going clear in the Derby, Mind That Bird wins the Derby from last to first. May Care, she is now in third. Paddy Prado is staying on. Dublin and Looking at Lucky is weaving his way through. Racing now inside the final furlong, it's Calvin Burrell and Super Saver in front. So in second, Paddy Prado down the outside. Icebox is flashing home, racing up the line. Super Saver wins the Derby for Todd Pletcher and for Calvin Burrell. Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby. It was Super Saver who held them all at bay and took Kentucky Derby 136.
Now, that is a trip down more recent memory lane, and it actually, gosh, it made me sad to listen to it because obviously of what happened to Barbaro in the end. And then if you heard when Big Brown, I mean, I was so excited about Big Brown racing, Big Brown coming down, and then, of course, they mentioned coming in second place, Eight Bells, who that was her last race as well. It was just devastating. So hopefully from then on, it's been just good news, and hopefully this weekend all the Derby horses are going to be completely safe, and same for the Oaks horses. We are definitely with you guys and wishing you the best. Again, the breaking news is Uncle Mo has been scratched from the Kentucky Derby. Amazing, amazing. I mean, again, he's been the favorite since like September, October. So definitely a little bit shocking.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. I knew he had had intestinal problems, but, I, like you, thought, well, they're going to race him and, you know, they wouldn't pull him out of this race on Friday, you know. But it must be worse than everybody thought.
And Uncle Mo has not commented on his Facebook page as of yet. So just all the readers did. Hey, just a little bit of Oaks Day news today, by the way. This is awesome. Remember us reading the Derby names yesterday, and it's horses like Mucho Macho Man and Uncle Mo and Dialed In and Stay Thirsty and all these like very masculine names. The names for some of the Oaks runners, Lilacs and Lace, Summer Soiree, Her Smile, Bokeh Booth, Daisy Divine, Holy Heavens, Plum Pretty. I love it. Go girls. I love it. It's fantastic. Hey, Glenn, I think we have our guest on the line right now. It's going to be Alex Brown. And Alex has written a book about Barbaro and is currently standing on the backside right now of the Churchill Downs where the Oaks Race and Derby is tomorrow. So good morning, Alex. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Doing good. Paint a picture of where you are right now.
Well, I'm actually in the media press conference for the scratching of Uncle Mo, and it's actually on the front side of Churchill where the press conference is.
And so are you trying to be quiet? Are you trying to listen? What are they saying?
No, I've listened, and horse is scratched. He's got some kind of internal issue, which they really don't know what it is. There's apparently an elevated enzyme, they really don't know yet what the deal is. So the horse is scratched. I'm not quite sure why he wasn't scratched a day or two earlier, but they did the right thing by the horse.
Yeah, they absolutely did. If he's not 100%, you'd want to send him,
I watched him train this morning. He looked wonderful. So I know it's a very difficult decision. If the horse is lame, you can tell. It's a visual thing, and it's very easy to sort of, you know, try to figure out if the horse should run or not. But this is an internal issue. Apparently his coat is dull, he's not eating, and, you know, those are the signs. But very, very hard decision for these guys to make, but a very good decision.
So he's there. The way that they could tell was that he wasn't eating very much, or...
Yeah, as they characterize it, he has a depressed attitude, not eating well, and his coat is dull. I saw him train this morning, and he looked fantastic. So I gotta say that has got to be very frustrating for these guys. I mean, I kind of been not pushing, but hoping they scratched the horse a few days ago, but... You know, they wait a little bit longer than you'd like, but they made a good call.
Right, right. Well, you didn't call us certainly to talk about Uncle Mo, but we want to talk a little bit about your book. But we'll get to that in a second. You have been to every track. Give everybody a little bit of history of who Alex Brown is, and then we'll get a little more detailed in it.
Sure. I mean, basically, the reason why I'm talking to you today is because I've written a book about Barbaro. In the last five years, basically, since Barbaro was spectacular, a very spectacular winner of the Kentucky Derby, my career has sort of meandered along and now focused purely on Barbaro stuff. I ran a website that kept everybody updated with Barbaro's status at New Bolton Center. That created a large community of people following him, and then sort of also evolved into a horse welfare community, which it continues to do today, 3 or 4 years later. And along the way, I wrote a book. I know the connections of Barbaro very well. The Jacksons, his owners, trainer Michael Matz, his ex-horse rider Peter, all the folks at New Bolton Center. So I had a real neat opportunity to write a book about what I would consider one of the true icons of the last 10 or 15 years.
Absolutely.
Jamie, I just wanted to jump in and ask here, you know, this has to be kind of a bittersweet when the Kentucky Derby rolls around again every year. It has to be kind of a bittersweet time for the Barbaro clan because, you know, it just brings back those memories too.
It brings back the memories, but I think from the Derby's perspective, it brings back the memories in a good way. I mean, he was absolutely spectacular in his Derby win. He won by the largest winning margin in more than 50 years, the fastest closing quarter since Secretariat. Prado, his jockey, never had to go to his stick. I mean, those memories of a racehorse racing like that are just absolutely wonderful, and that win was so thoroughly dominating. It was a lot of fun to write about in the book. I mean, I was writing about a true star.
And why do you think Barbaro has this incredible legacy and following? I mean, watching, you know, I rewatched his Derby race this morning, and you're right, there wasn't an equal to him on that track that day. So why do you think there's this legacy about him aside from his battle with the Brand Spoken Legend?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons of which I address in the book. I have a whole chapter that sort of tries to address that question without specifically answering it. But, I mean, obviously, the fact that Barbaro survived at New Bolton Center for 8 months sort of allowed this sort of people to sort of coalesce behind the horse and really sort of get behind his legacy. The use of social media helps with that, too. But I also think, you know, you take a horse that is so stunningly brilliant one moment and then is so tragically stricken 2 weeks later, those sort of changes in emotion really captured the attention of the nation. And then, you know, Barbaro had some characteristics that we as humans aspire. And we're so used to human stars and human heroes letting us down, whether they're sports heroes, political heroes or business heroes, that it was just great to see a horse that was only just doing all the right things, and even to the extent all he wanted to do was live, and we really got behind that. He inspired a lot of people, and the quality of people that surrounded Barbaro also helped tell the story. So whether it was the owners, Michael Matz, the trainer, Dean Richardson, the vet, Edgar Prado, the jockey, just all really good people.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, they're just high-class quality people.
Yeah.
Glenn?
Yeah,
I was just going to say, too, now, did you do your little journey around the tracks of the country before or after you wrote the book?
No, I did it as part of research for the book. So my plan was in 2007 to write the book. I did a little bit of research and interviewing back where I'm based in Pennsylvania. And then I just decided, since some of the book is going to address larger horse racing and horse welfare issues, that it would be interesting to sort of learn about them from the ground up in different parts of North America. So I worked at 7 different racetracks, for 7 different trainers, but ultimately for 2 years for trainer Steve Asmussen. For him, I worked at 4 different racetracks. And I learned a lot, and it was an extremely valuable piece of the book, I think. But it also helped strengthen my network. So I got to know people, you know, from Arkansas to Toronto, Canada, from Houston, Texas to Lexington, Kentucky, and so forth, that I'd never have been able to sort of meet and understand and whatever if I hadn't have traveled.
So any chance you're going to write a book about that? Because that's a good story right there.
It would be an interesting story, but I'm done with writing books. I wrote
really?
One book. It's my first book. It's my last book. I ran in one marathon. It was my first marathon and my last marathon, and I would equate both as similar experiences.
Really? Why is that? Was it just dealing with the people? Was it done?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not a writer in the true sense of the word as a writer. I mean, I've written a few articles and done some work for some media organizations, but I do actually find writing to be quite difficult. I loved the research aspect of the book. I knew the story as well as pretty much anybody. So I was uniquely positioned to write this book. But, yeah, writing is difficult for me. So I was fortunate, if you get a chance to read the book, to use quotes from many different people. And they were extremely eloquent in their description of whatever issues they were addressing for why they were quoted in the book. And I think that helps disguise perhaps some of my lack of writing. But it was, I'd be very honest, it was a very difficult thing for me to do. But I'm very glad I did it. I mean, I'm actually thrilled that I actually completed it.
Well, yeah, you're published now, you know, so you're like, it's gone like you win an Oscar, they say Academy Award winner, before your name. Now you're author Alex Brown for the rest of your life.
I'm a published author. I'm also a publishing company because I needed to be a published author, and I'm now a sales guy. So I basically do everything.
Now you're hanging around at Churchill waiting for the Kentucky Derby. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's not too bad a gig today and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, everything's good. One thing about there are many aspects of the project that are very positive. One of them is the respect. Not respect is probably the wrong word, but, I mean, I'm getting treated very well within the horse racing industry, whether it's different racetracks giving me media credentials, whether it's other media being very supportive of the projects that I've run and now very supportive of this book. I'm kind of overwhelmed with the support that I'm getting, to be perfectly honest. But without that support, I really couldn't be doing what I'm doing. So, I'm extremely fortunate and thanks, Churchill Downs for giving me the credentials to be here. It's all very good. And I'll also then look forward to being at Pimlico and thank those guys for having me in a couple of weeks. But the support of the racing industry for this book has been truly more than I could ever have expected.
Now, and I understand, too, that some of the proceeds from this book actually go to charities, because you've been an advocate of getting these racehorses adopted out and finding them homes. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a significant part of Barbaro's legacy. So that's the piece that I've been working on directly. I mean, the other part of Barbaro's legacy is laminitis research, but it's difficult for me to work on that since I'm not very smart. researcher, nor a trained veterinarian or anything. So I can focus on stuff I can focus on, and that has been the sort of the retirement aspects and so forth. And because I own the book, it's not a publishing company taking a chunk of it. Book signings that I've done, if I can, I try to support a horse welfare a charity. Yesterday I was signing books at Three Chimneys, and we raised about $680 for the Thoroughbred Charities of America selling the book. So brilliant.
Oh, great.
Tim is supporting the book. Brilliant. We could make some money for a very important charity.
Well, that's terrific. I wanted to mention, too, that there was an article about you that Samantha Clark just did, my old co-host on the 2010 radio show. And you can find that at Eventing Nation. She did a terrific article, and people can learn more about you there as well. Tell us a little bit now, and by the way, the name of the book was Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy, and we're going to put links. Jennifer's already put a link to it on our Facebook page, and we'll put it in our show notes as well. So tell us your thoughts. You're there with your credentials now covering the race tomorrow. What do you think?
I think the race is wide open. Obviously, the what many consider the best three-year-old is now scratched. I think that the smart person will just throw a dart at the list of runners and bet the horse where that dart lands. I mean, anyone tells you that they know a horse is going to win this race, there's no standout. So have some fun, pick a couple of horses, and enjoy it.
Well, did you get to see we follow Mucho Macho Man. We talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you get to see him work out today?
To be honest, I didn't, but he's kind of like maybe half a dozen horses. I think he's got a good shot, like, the other horses that come out of that Louisiana Derby. I'm kind of surprised Pants on Fire is 30-1. I think if I was, looking for an angle on an outsider, I would take him out of that race, given his price. But obviously Mucho Macho Man lost a shoe in that race. I think he's as legitimate as three or four other horses in the race. I didn't get to see him. I did see Uncle Mo train this morning, ironically, and like I said earlier, he looked great. I saw Darwin come out of the barn. He's a nice-looking horse. I saw three or four out on the track. They all look good. They're all good horses because they're in the Derby. Tomorrow we'll see which is the Derby winner. But, when Barbara ran in the Derby, I will tell you I had $80 to win on him, and I don't bet. But that's how confident we were that at 6-1 he was just way too good value. But there's not a horse, I think, in the race this year that matches that.
No, there's, I mean, aside from Uncle Mo being out, you know, unfortunately, there's no one standout, it seems like, that would definitely do it. And, you know, talk about with a field of 20, even if you have a favorite, how hard it is to actually win the Derby when you're fighting 19 other horses to get through.
Yeah, I mean, just look at what happened, looking at Lucky last year. He broke poorly out of the gate, probably not the best ride from Garrett Gomez, coming out of the one hole. But right there, that race was lost, and he was the favourite. He came back and justified favouritism by winning the Preakness. But this will be the first time these horses have faced now 18 other horses because we've got the one scratch. And also the first time any of these horses have run a mile and a quarter. So those are two huge unknowns. And we will get a cavalry charge going into the first turn. And, yeah, I just think, if you want to pick anyone in this race, you're going to have some fun because there's no one I would absolutely toss out and there's no one that I would say looks such a good thing, you've really got to bet that one horse.
So this is the race you actually just pick your favorite name. Pretty much.
That's why I'm saying, you know what, Pants on Fire at 30-1 wins the Louisiana Derby. You can't go wrong with something like that and root for Rosie Napravnik to be the first.
That's the one you want to have $80 on. The 30-1.
Yeah, why not? Why not? But I guess if everybody does, he won't be 30-1 for very long. But I mean,
that's true.
I think it's ridiculous that they thrown him out at that price. I would be shocked if he's 30-1 tomorrow.
Yeah, I would imagine it's going to even up a little bit. And then, is there one horse that stands out to you as a particularly long shot, or is there one horse that people are talking about, like, how did this horse get in the race?
I think there's probably about half a dozen horses that shouldn't be running, but, you know, I'm not going to name names, but, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen every year with the Derby. You're going to get people just get carried away. But, you know, what are you going to do? People want to run horses in the Derby. The sad statistic is lots of horses come out of the Derby and never run another decent race. So, you know, you're taking that risk with your horse.
Yeah, well, and I obviously good for the Uncle Mo people, you know, to go ahead and pull Uncle Mo if he wasn't 100%. And that's what you're talking about is there's a lot of ego involved when you've got a horse running in the Derby. And to be able to withdraw the day before in heartbreaking fashion, that is something you got to tip your hat to them too for.
Yeah,
it sounds like things are getting a little
bit
bigger in there.
Yeah, hats off to them for making the right decision for the horse. I know some others would have really pushed that decision to its limit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Alex, the book is Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. Your website is alexbrownracing.com. I encourage everybody to go there, look at the causes that Barbaro is continues to work on, thanks to Alex, and look at adopting racehorses and finding out about laminitis research and everything. So really, we appreciate what you've done. Everybody go out, buy the book. Where can they find it, Alex?
Well, it's on Amazon.com, so that's obviously the principal way anywhere. But I've got it in select retailers, pretty much, you know, through Kentucky, the good places like the Derby Museum, Joseph Best in Lexington, places like that carry it. And also retailers back up in Pennsylvania and Maryland. But the easiest place is Amazon, and I appreciate any of the support as we, you know, try to help me get this book out. I do appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope we get to talk to you again soon, maybe after the Triple Crown races are done, and get your take on it and talk about the book a little more when things aren't so hectic at Churchill.
That would be great. If you want to talk to me tomorrow, I'm up for that too. So, yeah, whenever you guys want, I'm always available.
All right. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
By greatness.
Like we're starting to get loud in the media room there at Churchill.
Yeah, no kidding. Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. I mean, it's a beautiful book. The photographs are amazing. And just, you know, it brings that emotion back to you. I remember seeing, you know, that they had finally put Barbaro down on the news. And I think it just stunned you know, people everywhere because he was such a fighter, and it just about broke my heart. So this is a great book, Good Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy, alexbrownracing.com. Everybody go and check it out.
All right, and today's show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. All horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you're a professional horseman or a weekend warrior. You want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. Today's highlight product is Summer Games Electrolyte. You know, Summer Games Electrolyte was developed for the athletes in the 1996 Olympics. Don't let dehydration and electrolyte imbalance sideline your horse. Summer Games is formulated to replace both the electrolytes and the trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats. For horses on the go, use Summer Games Paste, Summer Games Plus Paste, actually. Each dose contains a serving of Nalox, equine, and acid for double the protection against stress. And you can find Summer Games Electrolyte and all of the products from Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. We appreciate Karen continuing their support of Horses in the Morning. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek with Jamie Jennings on Freestyle Friday. You know how the other day, Jamie, I said it was Wednesday and it seemed like Monday because we had Monday and Tuesday off?
Yes.
Well, today seems like Friday. I woke up this morning late.
Did it.
Just woke up late and, you know, got out. By the way, yesterday on the show, you all of a sudden came back after the song said, gotta go, horse is loose, bye. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. So I love my students, my teenagers, and it's totally my fault because I didn't double check things last night. But the way we have things set up is we have this chain that goes across where the cross ties and tagging area are. So the horses are behind that big draping chain. And then behind that is a gate. Well, I guess my girls left through that gate. And again, it's my fault because I didn't check it, but they didn't latch it completely. And we have a sneaky pony that lives in my yard. And a sneaky pony decided to go underneath the chain because he can. He's a pony. And open the gate and proceed to let himself and the only other horse that can fit underneath the chain, which is our little quarter horse, they both went underneath the chain and out the gate. And, of course, no horse wants to run away. They just go around to where the hay and grain are stored. And, of course, busted that open, turned the trash can over. Of course, the bungee cord was completely attached on one, but the other one was not completely attached. And the pony went in and ate. I don't think it ate that much grain. His name is Jacob. He didn't eat that much, but he knocked it over. And, of course, you know, that's money down the tubes. So knocks the grain over, proceeds to start eating. That's when I noticed that they were out. And they hadn't been out very long because I always get up and check them in the morning before the show. And so I said, pony, you just earned yourself a trip to the vet clinic, my friend, because I didn't know. And it's a pony and better safe than sorry. So pony got in the trailer and went to the vet clinic yesterday and got his stomach pumped. Got a bunch of charcoal and oil stuffed down into his belly through his tube down his nose. So, yes, definitely an exciting morning here at Flyover Farms. And there is now a clip on the outside of the gate that is checked every night, you know, prevention. You just got to work on prevention a little bit more. But
it didn't help.
Pony.
It didn't help, Jamie, that we had just done, Christy had just scared the crap out of everybody with 4 weeks of laminitis. I'm sure that was in your mind.
I called the owner. I'm like, what do you think? She's like, what do you think? I'm like, laminitis is going to come from overeating grain. We need to get this pony to the clinic immediately. I called the clinic. I'm like, should I ice his feet before I bring him or just put him in the trailer? And then when we got there, I'm like, should I stick his feet in ice while we're tubing him? By the way, the horse had like probably a handful of grain in his belly. That was it. I got him to the clinic in like 20 minutes, you know. So I overreacted, but, you know, better safe than sorry in that kind of situation.
Just send Christy and thehorse.com the bill.
I know, right?
For creating paranoia all throughout the horse community.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true. I freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to get laminitis, and he's a pony. He's more susceptible to insulin resistance. And, oh, my God. And so a couple hundred dollars later, the pony's fine. Everybody's fine. I even took the 28-year-old quarter horse to the vet clinic just in case he got he got into the grain. He was totally fine, too. So we didn't even get a shot of Band-Aid.
Did overreact.
Better
safe than sorry. That's
babies.
Right. That's right. Well, we have our somebody calling here on the phone that checks in with us about once a week. She is probably the biggest workaholic I know, and that is the host of the Western Radio Show, Tammy Sorrance. Hi, Tammy.
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing? Hi, Jamie.
All right.
Hello.
Let's talk about this, Tammy. I got to bust your chops a little bit. So here we have a girl that has a full-time job as marketing director for the National Trail Horse Association. Did I get that right?
Yep, the American Competitive Trail Horse Association. And every time, you know what, Glenn? Every time I say ACSA, which is, you know, what it stands for, Alan on the radio says, bless you. It's the most fun. I could be talking about it on the radio. I said, yeah, Alan, I've been really busy. I went to an ACSA ride. He's like, oh, bless you. I'm like, oh, Ellie, every single time. You can count on it. Gotta love Alan.
All right, well, so you're full-time with ACSA. Then she also does this little hobby of hers where she's a world champion shooter and goes around to competitions all over the place. And, oh, by the way, has to train her horses. And she also has a job training other people's horses and teaching lessons in shooting. And then, as you know, she decided that all of that wasn't enough, that she would go to school and take 3 classes. What, are you nuts?
You know what? If you had called me 2 days ago, Glenn, I would have agreed with you. I was like... borderline had enough. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get all this done? Because I'm at finals with college right now. And, you know, it's difficult for me because your lovely college system over here is making me take American history, which sounds very basic for y'all. But coming from an Australian, who knows? You know, when I walked into my college lecture hall, I did not know who Lincoln was.
Wow.
So college history,
wow.
Someone who had no idea who Lincoln was, who now knows who Lincoln was, has proved to be very difficult, but I have thoroughly enjoyed it. But, yeah, they made me take some history classes. They said they couldn't put me through without that. So I've enjoyed learning more about the country, and I should if I'm living in it. But, yeah,
well,
I had finals and all kinds of stuff this week.
And then, Jamie, as if she wasn't crazy enough, you know, having all of those jobs, and going to school, too, she enrolled for 3 more in summer classes. You're supposed to take the summer off.
Well, you see, Glenn, that's just a wasted opportunity, because I sat there and I thought, wow, summer, I'm going to have a break, you know, have fun. And then I thought, wow, what a wasted opportunity. That's just time to do more stuff, you know? But I did take online classes, so we'll see what happens there.
Well, now, you did, on the Western Radio Show this week, you had a very interesting show because you had a fellow shooter on. But
I
this
did.
Isn't just any shooter. This is a girl, and you were actually, tell us just the story of what happened, and then we'll let everybody else go and hear about how she recovered. But you were at a competition, and you were the next to go, weren't you, when this happened?
Yeah, I wasn't exactly next. There was probably about 170 shooters, and I was probably about 10 or 15 down the line on the go order.
Okay.
But one of my dear, dear friends, Susan Henning, she's a upper-level mounted shooter as well, cowboy mounted shooter, and we were at a competition, I think it was in Tennessee, and we were getting ready to go, and she had her run, and she came off at the end of her run, and for people who are not familiar with mounted shooting, it's pretty much like coming home from the last turn of a barrel race, and you're running home and you're going at pretty good speed, but we don't actually run out of the arena. We turn our horses and slow down, and it just so happened she came off and her head hit the concrete wall of the arena about where her eyebrows were, and it was almost fatal right there in the arena. It was devastating, and I was very fortunate not to witness it. I saw her horse come down from the last barrel and kind of act up a little bit and it stops a little on its front end and all that came together and she came off and lost her seat. And I was kind of walking past the arena warming my horse up when I saw that, and I kept going, and I missed where she hit the wall, and I'm glad I didn't. But I came back and saw her on the ground and people ripping their shirts off and trying to stop the bleeding, and I heard her, and I've got my medic license, and I knew the severity of this, and I knew the trouble we were in, and to see all the mounted shooters take their hats off and pray and the other ones working hard to save her life, it was hard for me to see. And for someone who's as competitive and driven as me, to see something that horrific was a reality check for me. It was kind of like, you know what, Tammy, you can sit on your couch and watch TV and you can stare at your 150 buckles on the wall, but what does it matter, you know? What does it matter if there's no one there to see you win it or no one there you care about? Or, you know, it really put the sport back into perspective. And that show is about Susan Henning and about her recovery and how she really learned the support system of her husband and the people of the sport. We all came together. We had Facebook pages. We had support systems. We had pages to update her of her condition, and people took care of her horses, and people sent cards and flowers, and the support she had was unbelievable. And it's really a remarkable story, and I'm not exactly sure how long it's been. I think it's probably about 8 months, and she's horseback already.
Yeah, so. And she was pretty, you know, banged up. She needed reconstructive surgery on her face, but she sounded
did.
Great. She's back on horse. She wants to go back to competing. Her husband's a real sweetheart, and, you know, I want everybody to just, that's all I want to say. Go over to westernradioshow.com and take a listen to that. It was definitely worth listening to, and you know, what great people. And it does show you the kind of people that are in your sport and what a cool, you know, community it is. You know, we talk about eventing all the time, and, you know, we talk about, you know, how they all stick together. Well, that happens in many other parts of the horse world too. So, and I think this show really, really brings that to light. So that's at westernradioshow.com. And I know that you're at an event. Yeah, go ahead.
She wears a helmet because we've had some questions about it, Glenn, and she wears a helmet, and her husband does too, just purely in support of her now. But this was an injury that was like a bull rider hitting their face, you know? It was something that was maybe preventable in some way, but it was a frontal impact, you know? So.
No, but Tammy, you talked about you sitting there and watching it and looking at your belt buckles and trying to see how this, you know, affects you in your life. Does that mean you're going to start wearing a helmet?
Yeah, and you know, I've had a head injury. I had a horse slip over backwards and crush my skull about 8 years ago, and it took me a while to recover. And that's a hard question because... And trust me, if I was going over some of the jumps, the eventers, I didn't have the courage to do that. That they did, I would wear one. And it's hard with the eventing because you've got to go against the whole romantic, you know, fantasy of the cowboy. And to break that barrier, I think, is worth discussion, you know. And definitely
lead
it's worth
it. Lead by example,
you know?
Girl. Lead by example, okay?
Yeah, you are.
Anytime.
If anybody was going to lead by example, you could. You rule that sport, girlfriend.
Yeah, and I was when I was knocked out, there was nobody there at the ranch. I was out checking cattle, and I had a young colt, and it crushed me, and no one was there to help me, and I laid out amongst the cattle for 8 hours unconscious when my brain swelled up. So,
wow.
I didn't know who found me.
Why exactly again? What? Stop. So answer this question. Why would you not wear a helmet?
You know, I think, and I'm not against them, I'm not. I think I just don't, because I'm not in the habit of it, and it's not part of the Western culture.
Tammy, do you put a hat on your head when you go to ride?
I've got one on my head right now.
Exactly. You can't have it, girl. You have no idea.
Poor Tammy's never going to call back.
I know, but you know what? I have to pick on you because you're the one Western person sitting here listening to me. So I think it's important. I hope you can pioneer the sport in new direction. Good luck to you. I'll leave you alone now.
No, I agree with you. I do, Jamie. And if I had kids, I would. You know, I would make them wear it. And
family, these are pathetic excuses, okay?
Nope, I agree with you. Yes, ma'am.
Jamie, remember, she's heavily armed and knows how to shoot. Just thought I'd bring that up.
I'm way far away.
Thank you, Tammy. We want everybody to hop over to westernradioshow.com and take a listen to this very poignant episode that they did this week. It's worth listening to, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, that's great. Yep, and I will call in later. I've got the TV show for America's Favorite Trail Horse coming up this weekend, so that's going to be pretty exciting, and
oh, cool.
I'm sure I'll have a lot of stories after that one.
Okay, good. All right, we'll look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah,
thank you,
thanks.
Tammy.
Okay, bye.
Tammy, we only pick on the ones we love, okay?
Yeah, she's never calling back now. She's never calling back.
Oh, she started
I didn't go into the fact.
She's the one who mentioned the helmets in the first place. So she started it. She said she rides in a helmet. I said, well, why don't you? I mean, there you go. And she started it.
And they do make those leather-covered helmets from Troxel now. I have one, you know? They're kind of cool looking. So, you know, I was going to bring that up, but you already beat her up enough. I didn't think I needed to. Well, today's song is brought to you by Pocket Stable, and Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information together right on your phone, including vaccines and wormings and farriers and dentist visits and the whole thing. And it's easily accessible. You just pull out your phone. You have it with you anyway. And you have it with you when you're riding, for God's sake. I know Jamie has it with her all the time. And I can't tell you how many times, speaking of Western, that Alan Moorhead has called me while he's riding with the wind going. I can't hear him, and he's talking on the phone. So you can keep track. You know, if you're riding along and you're trying to remember, when was that farrier due? Well, you can just pull out your phone and take a look, because you're going to have the best application for that, and that's Pocket Stable. Find it at your app store. Just look on the app store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. And if I remember correctly, it's very inexpensive, isn't it, Jamie? Like, really cheap.
$3.99. It's so easy.
Yeah. And no monthly fees. You just have it. You use it. I know Jamie uses it every single day out there at the farm. Well, I thought that the only choice we had today, as far as the song was concerned, because we talked about Barbaro, was Templeton Thompson was asked to write a song for Barbaro, and she did, and it's called I Love to Run. So this is for Barbaro from Templeton Thompson.
Led me to this moment. I lay it all out on the line. Time to shine, time to rock and roll. Feeling a million butterflies. Oh, but I've never been so ready. Watch me when I hit my stride. Feel alive. Yeah, I'm strong and steady. Breathing, my reason for being. have my number. Ain't no need to be afraid. I'm escaped from the cloud I'm under. Dying in for the fame or the pain or the so-called glory. I'm just living how I'm made. That's what they'll say when they tell my story.
Obviously, Templeton Thompson. I Love to Run. That song is for Barbaro. And, you know, obviously with having Alex Brown on the show earlier today, we had to play that. Today's show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Thanks so much for sponsoring Horses in the Morning. I'm Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek. And, you know, it's time again for the exciting, exciting day of really bad ads. I love it.
Pay attention.
And this is the time of the week when we love to read the ads that mostly, you know, sadly come from Craigslist of people that are selling their horse or selling something related to farm and garden. In the farm and garden section is where I find all of mine. It's just very entertaining. And we got an email from Jessie. She sent us this one. The title is Need Horse Broke. I have a 2-year-old mare that has never been rode. I am too old to attempt to break her. She is gentle. She is genital. Like,
I think I was genital. Thinking that. I don't think it's gentle. I think it's gentle.
Genital is what I said. But has never been rode. Is there anyone who would break her? And if so, how much? Thanks, Kaylee. All right, Kaylee, good luck on getting your genital mare broke.
Kelly Utter sent us one that was titled Quarter Horse Filly. Now, the thing about this one is, there's no capitalization and a lot of very, very short sentences. I don't think this girl knew what a comma was. Here it is.
Yeah.
Dixie's Red Rose. She has papers. I have the card for you to get them if you really want them. She will be a year in May. She leads, catches, lunges, picks all feet up, stands her back. Real sweet girl. I swear she can't put more than three words in a sentence. Her winter coat is...
this sentence catches.
Now get this. Okay, so now we had all those really, really short sentences with three words in them. Now listen to this. It's all one sentence. I'm going to try and read it. Her winter coat is a really pretty strawberry roan, but her summer coat, she looks like a strawberry roan, but has the dun dorsal stripe. Now we're back to short sentences. She is very pretty. She does have a blaze that is gorgeous. She is very smart. I really hate to see her go, but I need the money for school. I'm not sure what my asking price is. Just shoot me an offer and we'll go from there. We'll have to drive to Joplin, Missouri to get her. I do not have a trailer to go and get her. And that's it. That's the end of the ad. And then what I thought was really funny, if you look at the picture closely, Jamie, so you got to remember, she's talking about she does have a blaze that is gorgeous. So what does she do? She takes the picture from behind. We see her butt and her ears and a dog, by the way, sitting on her back. And we can't even see the blaze of the face. So
I know. This is great.
Not,
that's
the
worst
way not
picture.
To tell your horse.
Yeah. And you know what?
I thought that was a growth growing out of her back. It's actually a dog.
Yeah. It's some sort of, like, it's a little puppy or something. I mean, it's stinking cute picture, whatever, if you were not trying to sell your horse. That's part of it.
Jennifer wants to know if the puppy's
see.
Available.
Yeah, seriously, I'll buy the puppy, but not the horse. Nice sorrel walking horse, Mara. Cheryl sent us this one. Oh, Lord, this is going to be hard to read. She just turned 3-year-old, 14-3. Okay, this is, mind you, all one sentence. She just turned 3-year-old, 14-3 hands. I just got her last week, came off a farm in Knoxville where she's raised a man, never rode her, just loves grandkids around her. She's gentle as a pup. She'll come to you what she calls. She loves ties. The only thing she needs to be rode more, no buck kick or anything crazy she did, I'd keep her for myself. Holy moly. See if you can
the
follow
funny...
that one. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the funny part of that was the last part. She needs. The only thing she needs is to be rode more. No buck, kick, or anything crazy. If she did, I would keep her for myself.
That doesn't make any sense. I didn't even notice
do you
that
think
it
she
said
wants
that. I just
the ones
thought it was
that,
all one sentence.
Do you think she wants the ones that buck and kick? That's what it sounds like. She won't keep them unless they buck and kick or do something crazy.
Cheryl,
I have a lot of horses I know
number.
For her.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know.
You find her horse.
Oh,
okay,
great.
So this one was from Samantha, and she wrote, brilliant. Someone has finally figured out a way to get others to clean their barn and get paid for it. So here's the ad. How do I get all the poopy ones? Every week I get the poopy ones. Free poop. Sheep, goat, horse. And this is out of, I don't know, Springfield somewhere. You want to do the work, you can have it for free. Mostly dry manure, in barn, clean. Can poop be clean, in parentheses? Anyway, not mixed with other stuff. No hormones, antibiotics, pesticides, etc. For insurance reasons, this is your project. Bring scoop, shovels, and wheelbarrow or cart. You cannot drive into barn. So in other words, come clean my stalls and you get to keep the poop.
That's it. That works out. That is the most brilliant individual that I have ever heard of. However, I can't imagine too many people are going to make this call and drive on over. What do you think?
What? It's clean poop. There's nothing in it. It's clean.
It's clean.
It's just what
it's
you
definitely
need. Yep.
Clean.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. That is bizarre. That's the most brilliant person ever, though. Okay.
Yes,
the next one is, Lord. You know, I love it when people, they clearly have a horse that they can't afford and they really need to pay some bills or have things. So they just want to trade. I'll just trade you my horse for whatever I actually need. So here is the perfect example of that. I have a 6-year-old mare that is 56 inches tall. By the way, I did the math, and that's 14 hands. Why you would not just say 14 hands, I don't know. But the mare is 56 inches tall. She is broke but hasn't been ridden in a while, so she'll probably need work. She is a sweet girl. I'm needing to trade her for a good working refrigerator.
This person really has –
their priorities in the right place. Get rid of the pony, get a fridge.
I'll give you my 14-hand unbroke pony for a refrigerator. Good luck with that again. You know, maybe there's somebody for everyone. Maybe somebody's sitting there going, gosh, I've got this working refrigerator if I could only trade it for a pony.
Well, she could have been more specific. She really could have been more specific and put, you know, a side-by-side with water and ice dispenser.
Or put a picture of the horse, you know, put some more information about it, whatever. Just, I mean, you're trying, again, to sell or trade something. It's a poor ad. But good luck getting your refrigerator, and I hope your kids can eat their frozen food soon. Sorry, that was me vamping. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is from Joni. There's a name that you don't hear anymore. Wasn't it Happy Days? Where last time I heard Joni was Happy Days.
Yeah, she loves Chachi.
Yeah, that's right. But isn't that a name? You just don't hear that name anymore. That one's gone by the wayside. Well, this is from Joni, and the title is Appaloosa Horse Liquidation. I have over 30 head of horses to sell as daughter went to college. They bought her daughter 30 head of horses? There's some parents for you.
Yeah. Those are good parents. The daughter went to college and read the rest.
That one just caught me off guard. I have 30 head of horses to sell as daughter went to college and left dad with mares, stud colts, some mares in foal. I also have tack. Most are registered, some broke, and others breaking me. Some broke and others breaking me.
He's honest.
Price depends on how many you buy and which ones and how soon. In other words, get them the hell out of here. I'll give them to you for a dollar. Serious buyers only may trade for something that doesn't eat. Every week we have one that says something that doesn't eat.
Oh, my gosh. I will trade for non-food items. let me paint this picture. Hey, Daddy, can I have a pony? Well, sure, honey. You know what? Those two are coming as a pair. We should buy both of them. And then it begins. Daddy, the horse is getting really fat. Oh, wait, it had a baby. Oh, wait, there's a baby. Oh, well, we need to get the baby a friend, obviously. So then, let's get this little colt over here to have it with the little filly. Oh, and then all of a sudden, 30 horses later, the girl's going to college and leaving Daddy with all of 30 horses to take care of. Stud colts. They're not even castrated. I bet they're all running wild on the farm right now. Oh, my God.
Right,
Appaloosa's on the loose.
What states would you guess that this ad would come from? Anybody have any ideas? What state this ad would be from?
It's got to be Appaloosa's running loose. It's got to be somewhere in the South.
You're absolutely right. It either had to be Kentucky, Tennessee, or Alabama, and it was Tennessee. So there you go. You found the next one, actually.
I did, and it was. I was like, okay. Oh God. Oh no. All right. So they're selling their 2006 Brahma Hereford Cross Bull. He's very friendly and he's bottle raised. He's 2,000 pounds. He's been used
That's
for
a big
breeding.
Bull.
That's a big old bull.
Big bull.
Brahma Hereford Cross. That is a big bull from what I know about cows. 2,000 pounds is giant. He's friendly, and he's been bottle raised. So obviously they've had him since he was a baby, since he was a pet of theirs. He has been used for breeding. He produces nice calves. And you can become the proud new owner of this bull. This is what they say. Buy him for breeding, for your freezer, or for a pet.
Keeping their options open.
You raised the thing from a baby. You bottle raised this 2,000-pound bull, and you like buy him to breed. Stick him in your freezer. I'm a vegetarian. That just bothers me. Stick him in your freezer, or make him a 2,000-pound pet. Who doesn't have a 2,000-pound bull in their backyard as a pet? There's just so much wrong with that. It bothers me.
And it's going to be a little tough anyway. It's like 5 years old. Cindy from Colorado says, I have an 11-year-old 15.3-hand bay mare for sale. She rides English or Westerns. Oh, this is a whole one. All right, I'm going to try and do this. Hold on. It's all one long sentence with, like, no punctuation at all whatsoever. No capitalization either. Fast Horse has done roping. What? Okay, ready? I'll start over. Fast Horse has done roping, some jumping, and some barrels. Great at trail. Nothing scares her. She's like an Arab, can go all day long, and still wants to go, go, go.
Kind of like that sentence.
Buyer will. Yeah, exactly. Buyer will sign a contract. Now, this is the interesting part of this one, Jamie. Everybody has to listen very closely to these next two sentences. Buyer will sign a contract stating the horse to never be sold. Well, let me try this again. Buyer will sign a contract stating the horse to never be sold and properly cared for. I have the right to take her back without payment.
What?
So, in other words,
right,
you buy the horse from me, and I can come back anytime I want and take that horse back from you for free.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Buyer will sign a contract stating the horse. So, basically, if you want to buy my horse, you have to keep her forever and take care of her. However, at any time, I have the right to take her back for free. You buy her today,
that's
I'll come back
it.
And get her tomorrow. You, Cindy, whoever sent this in, you found the biggest idiot of the day. That is for sure.
No. The idiot of the day will be the person that does it. That'll be the idiot of the day.
Oh, you make a good point. I wonder if that is from Colorado, the ad. Cindy's from Colorado. I wonder if she found it in Colorado, because, man, there must be some really cool laws there.
Do you think that this person's the same one that with the poop up above that's getting people to clean the stalls for him? It sounds like the same kind of person.
Oh my God, that is the smartest person ever. I've got a horse for sale too, but yeah, again, I can come and get him anytime for free. So give me $10,000. You can take the horse now, and then I'll come get him next week. And I can
keep
the money.
I'll be around next.
This one is from Alex in California. I don't know if Alex is a girl or a guy because it's A-L-E-X. It's not like, you know, A-L-E-X-I or something. Anyway, this is great. I'm just going to read it the way it's read, and then, you know, it's pretty obvious. Bobby is one great little horse, 8 years old. Bobby has been ridden all over the neighborhood. We're selling him for a friend that's getting a divorce. Bobby is guaranteed 100% sound, and you can have him vet checked if you want. Bobby is barefoot and has been ride barefoot the last 3 years. Bobby would be great for a youth or smaller adult, only $1,200. What's the horse's name? Pop quiz.
Bobby. Did I get it right?
1, 2, 3, 4. Five times in two sentences they mentioned the horse's name.
Do I get a prize,
awesome,
too? I got it right.
You get a gold star today.
Carol submitted this one. His name is Bill. He's around 10 years old. He's a workhorse on a ranch. Oh, that's pretty good so far. He is very well-mannered and ready for something to do. S-U-M-T-H-I-N-G. He has a lot of ride left in him, and he is a whole, H-O-L-E, lot of horse for the price. We had many fouls, F-O-U-L-S, this year, and no room or time for him, so my loss is your gain. So
we had too many fouls this year.
Yeah, apparently
she's a baseball
fan.
We had too many fouls this year. Yeah, that's what most people call having kids.
The next one is from, this is the runner-up, and I'll let you do the winner. The runner-up is from Faye Windsor, who sent in this title, Performance Horse Child's Hunter Broodmare Prospect. Tota, T-O-T-A, is approximately 13-year-old, 14.3 Argentine mare. She played polo for several years and later came to be with an eye injury that made her blind in the right eye. She's a sweet mare that needs a new home. I believe her blindness has brought many frustrations. Yeah, I guess it would. Once a great riding horse with impeccable movement and abilities, now listen closely, she will now buck in situations where she feels uncomfortable. Therefore, I do not, in capital letters, recommend she be used as a riding horse. She also needs to be turned out by herself because she kicks at other horses. So
wow.
Is this sounding
I
like the
her.
Perfect? Now, you've got to remember, you know, who really wants this horse? I know it's blind, and I feel bad about that, but boy, oh boy, she sounds like a handful. She bucks, and she kicks at other horses, and she can't use her for riding, and, you know, that's why, now you know why she's a broodmare prospect, because that's about all it's
yeah.
left.
Yeah. Thank God she's a mare, right, and they can use her as a broodmare prospect, because who would want a horse that you can't, oh, by the way, you can't ride her, and she can't be around other horses. So.
Now,
oh,
wait a minute, look at that.
And when she's having
Let's
the baby,
stop right there.
She's going to kick your face in.
Do we really want to make more of this mare? She's got horse aggression issues. She's got, hello, do we want to make more of that?
But
it comes
from
her being
blind.
Yeah, you got to remember. Yeah.
All
right,
it's
Jamie,
all...
the winner.
Okay, the winner, Aubrey Miller. You know, Aubrey, we're mad at you that you didn't come by and see us at Rolex. However, you did send us an ad, and this is great. It's short and sweet. It says, donkey for sale, $500. Only $500, donkey for sale. Six-year-old strawberry roan, only breeds mares. Wait a second. You're telling me your donkey won't breed other donkeys? It only breeds mares? Like, it won't breed a Jenny? It's a racist donkey. They've got a racist donkey for sale, Glenn. Only breeds mares. And do they have a particular color? Is it just a racist thing?
It's
a
like
breed
serve red mares?
Yeah, do they have a particular one? Anyway, Aubrey, you are the winner. Six-year-old strawberry roan only breeds mares. Don't breed it to a donkey. Just a mare. We only make mules. All right. Thank you guys all so much for sending in your really bad ads. It's definitely a lot of fun to look for. I'm addicted to looking for bad ads on Craigslist now. Make it part of your workday. Just log on, find the ridiculousness, and email it to us. Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Really bad ads, and congratulations. Aubrey, you are getting that hat, and thanks to everybody who sent one in.
And, Aubrey, we have your email address, so we'll be writing to you, or you can write to us with your address, and we'll get you out the signed hat with all of our signatures on it. It's become a popular item, the Horse Radio Network hat. Well, we have a special report now coming in, and I guarantee you there have been no alcoholic beverages consumed by Reese Coughler Stanfield, who is in the parking lot, I believe, of the over at Churchill Downs. Are you there, Reese?
I am. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Is it 5 o'clock somewhere, Reese?
It is definitely 5 o'clock somewhere, for sure.
What have you been? Wait, they start the tailgating early for the Oaks Day, don't they?
I know. Travis got me up, I think, earlier than I normally got up for this. I'm like, I'm on vacation. What are you doing? But we are here in Louisville. We are in the parking lot, and you guys would be very impressed with our tailgate this morning. We had a Bloody Mary bar, and I am currently drinking a mimosa, also off the mimosa bar that our friends have set up. And we're having some frittata and hash brown casserole. We know how to do this.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm jealous.
I know. So we're having and no rain. I don't see any rain clouds, thank goodness, because as we all know, all it's been doing is raining in Kentucky. So I think we have a great day. Do you guys want to hear from my group? Okay, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our group. We will definitely send a picture to you guys of all us in our cute hats and dresses.
Yes, aww. I wanted to ask you, are you in pink? Are you in pink? It's pink day
pink.
Over there.
I am pink. The First Lady has the Race for the Cure today here at the Derby. She, Jane Beshear, she is a huge proponent of breast cancer, and so everyone wears pink to the Oaks. You would be so impressed. Our plates are even pink.
Wow, you guys are doing it up.
I do, you know, and I have my cute little fascinator on. So I have a hat.
Oh, you wearing
we're
the one from the? Oh no, you're not wearing the hat from the wedding, are you?
not that hat, but I have a cute hat on. You'd be impressed.
All right, well, we want to see a picture. Send one to my phone, and we'll post it on our Facebook page. I want the whole group in their hats. Hey, are you?
Okay,
what time's the race, Reese? What time's the Oaks,
you know,
go?
Travis, what time's the race?
She doesn't even know.
They don't know.
I don't even know. Hey, 5:45. Thank God I have my horsey husband that knows. 5:45.
5:45?
Yes.
You're not even going to see
know.
A horse. How many drinks will you have had by then?
You know, I actually, the boys have all their betting pools, and I give them my $20, and I just have a good time. I don't at all, I'm not a betting, I lose enough money on horses typically, so I let the boys take care of the betting, so, yeah.
Now,
Reece, Travis has my money.
Do you have any idea who is running in the Oaks today?
Honestly, Jamie, I don't know. No clue. Yeah, no, I just had a good time. Yeah, it's horrible. Can you tell us the favorite? Do you want us to place a bet for you?
No, I don't think you'd make it to the window. So here's the dressage rider for you. Dressage riders get all dressed up. They got their fancy food and their fancy hats, and they got their fancy tailgate, and have no idea who's racing.
That's how it goes. You know, but it's fun. We say Derby and Oaks in our farm. My barn is my assistant Christina. God love her. She's the barn today. But this is a holiday in our family. Travis is actually from Louisville, so. Since we've been together, we have been going to either Oaks or Derby, so it's really a fun weekend for us, and we look forward to kind of getting away from the barn and getting dressed up, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm always happy, always happy to come.
Now, are you the only ones in the parking lot, or are you alone there?
Yeah, we are pretty professional, and yes, we are. There are other cars, but we're the only ones tailgating. Our boys are pretty hardcore about getting in there. I would have showed up, come around lunchtime, but the boys are ready to rock and roll early. So,
Jennifer, we could be there in an hour. You know, right after
I
the
know.
Show.
What a treat. Come and meet us. Come on. I give you directions. It'll be perfect. And I don't know. Our group's moving pretty slow, so we probably won't be in there anytime soon.
You're going to miss the race altogether. We're going to talk to you on Monday. Be like, Reese, how was the race? I don't know. I was napping in the back of the car.
You know, that's kind of the, yeah. It's been a pretty busy week at Maple Crest, so you never know. But it's fun to be out. And like I said, it's sunny and beautiful. And, you know, like I said, I'm so excited. The sun is shining, and it's fun. It's a fun weekend. And I would, this should be on everyone's bucket list. Everyone should come to either the Oaks or the Derby. We prefer the Oaks now. It's kind of the Kentuckians Derby. Because Derby gets really, really busy. But the Oaks is kind of the same feeling. And it's a lot of fun.
It's Phillies. I mean, you got to like that too, right?
Yeah,
the girls
I love
races,
the Phillies. And they have a really cute drink they bring around, the Lily. And I'm not sure what's in the Lily, but they have little berries in it. It's very cute, and it's kind of a purpley color. So it's quite good.
She has no idea what horses are running in this race, but damn well she knows what drinks come around.
I know what the drink is. Thank goodness that's the same drink every year.
Joyful Victory.
I don't know how to make it. I'm sorry.
Remember the name Joyful Victory, okay? That might be one you want to bet on. That's Joyful Victory.
Okay, you know what, Jamie? I will put $2 Joyful Victory to win for you. And if we win, we'll put it.
We'll spend the 25 cents that the horse is going to make because it's the favorite.
Exactly. I am all for that. That would be great. That would be awesome.
All right, Reese.
I wish you guys were here. I'm glad somebody's working today.
Smart ass.
but next year, you guys will have to come and do the show from the parking lot. It's quite fun, and it would be totally worth it for sure.
That'd be fun. That would be a neat idea. Well, thank you, Reese. We appreciate you checking in and have a drink on us. Well, maybe
I will.
Not.
I will. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Reese.
Bye.
And, of course, that's Reese Koffler-Stanfield, who finally got our dinner over there. Remember, she does our Cooking with Reese segment, and she's been promising to invite Jennifer and I over to her farm for dinner for about 2 years. And we finally got over there Sunday night, so we had a great time. What a beautiful place she has, Jamie. It's just beautiful. Her tack room looks like it should she has closets with the full doors all fancy, and you open the door, they're all numbered, and you open the door, and in there's the wooden closets with all the tack. It's pretty cool. A kitchen and a sink in the tack room, two sinks in the tack room. It's pretty neat stuff. These dressage riders know how to do it.
Right on. Well, that's cool. Yeah, those dressage riders are pretty tidy people, too, so I'm sure it was nice and clean. Well, what a great week we've had. I know it's been a short one. You know, just this time last week, we were broadcasting live at Rolex, and, you know, this is just happy Oaks Day, happy Derby Day to everybody. It's going to be an awesome day tomorrow. I, again, am still shocked that Uncle Mo has been scratched from the Kentucky Derby. If you're just joining us, Uncle Mo will not be there.
You know,
so it's anybody's game.
You know what's really sad about the Uncle Mo thing is that Uncle Mo will be
racist. Lord of the infield best.
I'm going to take that button away from you.
That's it. Let's call it a day. You know, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network.
I have buttons too, my friend.
You can listen to all the shows at horseradionetwork.com. All the different shows. We do 8 of them. This isn't the only one. There are others. So you can check those out as well. And, of course, you can listen to our recorded version right here at Horses in the Morning or at horseradionetwork.com. And that's, I think, about it. What are you doing this weekend real quick? What, you're going to be watching the Derby, I assume?
I actually have a pretty cool weekend for horses. I'm about to go take a riding lesson here in a bit and load up my horse and drive to Scottsdale and take my lesson. And then Derby Day, of course, is a holiday. I had somebody call me and they were like, want to take some riding lessons. They're a new student, a potential student. They're like, can I meet with you tomorrow? And I said, no, I'm sorry, it's a holiday. He was like, excuse me? I was like, it's Derby Day. I can't meet with you. I was like, I'm going to be busy. so tomorrow's Derby Day, and Sunday is hopefully going to be Jet, my horse's Jet, his first ever cross-country schooling. So it's going to be an exciting weekend, and I'm glad I have a .2 air vest. I'm getting one. I'll have it by then, hopefully. So you guys have a good one. What are you guys doing this weekend?
We're watching the Derby tomorrow, and on the high def TV. You know, it's the first year that we've actually had a high def TV to watch the Derby on, so that's kind of cool. You know, we might actually be able to see the horses this year. And then Sunday is somebody's birthday, so Jennifer's birthday on Sunday. So I think I'm going to have to take her out for her birthday.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Good
actually,
thing you, her
you know what? Come
riding.
To think about it, I was wrong. Monday is Jennifer's birthday. But so we're going to have to celebrate on Sunday because we got to work. So we're going to have to go out Sunday.
That was poor. That was poor, my friend.
I know.
Seriously,
I know,
you just got her birthday wrong. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know what? I remembered it. There have been years when we both have forgotten our anniversary, and it's been 3 weeks after our anniversary, and we go, oh, crap, we forgot again. So our sister-in-law now calls us the day before our anniversary every year and says, just reminding you that your anniversary is tomorrow. See, I didn't get in trouble for that because Jennifer forgot, too. So we're both equal
just
about that.
Don't ever call your wife an Oompa Loompa, and you will be fine, okay? you can talk your way out of anything. Just not an Oompa Loompa. I missed your birthday, honey.
You know
I
what?
Didn't call you an Oompa Loompa. Okay, you're
I
right.
Reserve
I love
that. Special for my co-host.
You're such a jerk. Hey, if you miss a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You don't have to miss one. We'll be back Monday morning with all the post-Derby talk we can find at 9 Eastern. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend, and wear your helmets. You too, Tammy.